Isaiah 29, woe to you, woe to you, Ariel, Ariel, the city where David lived. Let your festivals just drag on year after year. Now, Ariel means the Lion of God, and this then is another name for Jerusalem. And he says, let your festivals, your feasts, just run on. In other words, God was angry with the way the Jews were keeping those feasts. They were doing it just as a ritual and without any heart in it. And God likewise is not happy if we just rattle off words to him in prayer because, well, it's our ritual, it's our sort of established thing that we pray for food or give thanks before a meal or something like that. It's got to have spirit in it. And so God says, I will besiege Ariel. God would do this to Jerusalem, to his own special city which he loved. And there will be sorrow and mourning. And she will become like an altar. Then I will encamp against you, like David, and I will lay siege to you with towers and raise up siege engines against you, and you will be brought down. You'll speak from the ground. Your voice will just mutter out of the dust, and your speech will just be like a whisper. So again, you will be brought down. We've seen this so often in Isaiah, that pride must be brought down. And the number one issue that God had against his people was that they were proud. And that was also the issue he had with Babylon and these other nations. You'd have thought he might have focused on idol worship or whatever, but instead he says, you're proud. The hordes of your enemies will be as many as the fine dust. But then suddenly, in a moment, you will be visited by Yahweh of hosts with thunder, earthquake, great noise, a tempest and flames of devouring fire. And then the hosts of all the nations who fight against Ariel, all that attack her and besiege her, will just be like a dream in the night. Like when a hungry man dreams. He dreams of eating, but he wakes up still hungry. Or when a thirsty man drinks in his dreams, but he wakes up and he is still thirsty. So it will be with all those nations who fight against Mount Zion. And that's how it's going to be, that all the trauma of this life will just be like a dream. I think that's the idea. And he's saying, you know, you are going to be brought down and I'm going to myself fight against you. Well, their idea in that sort of time was that all the people had their own gods, and the God of his people would always fight for his people and never against them. And so they would have thought that the God of Jerusalem was always going to look after Jerusalem. But here the God of Jerusalem says, I will fight against Jerusalem. So God is not just sort of like a good luck charm who's going to bring you good luck. God is real, and he is really hurt by human behavior, and he is also made very happy to it. And so he goes on, be astonished, be blind, be drunk, but not from wine, because the Lord has poured out upon you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed your eyes. He has covered the heads of the prophets. So he's saying that because they didn't want to hear and see God's word, so God was going to make them blind and deaf to it. It's just like he did through Jesus, when Jesus said, okay, now I'll talk to you in parables, so that you might not understand. So if people don't want to understand, they will not. When people open a Bible and say, well, I started reading it and it was all so hard to understand, it didn't make any sense to me. Well, that's actually because they don't want it to make sense. And so God goes on, the entire vision has become for you like the words of a book which is sealed. When a man gives it to somebody who can read, and he says, read this, please, the man will reply, I can't because it's sealed. Or it's like when they give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, please, and he replies, I can't read, so I can't read it. And then the Lord said, because this people draws near with their mouths and honours me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, their worship of me has become merely like the traditions taught of men. So therefore beware. And because of this, I will again do terrible things with this people. wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of their wise will perish, and the understanding of their wise people will be hidden. So then, God does not like it at all when people claim to love him with their lips, but in their hearts they are far away from him. How terrible it will be for you who try to hide your plans from the Lord. Well, you can't hide from God. Jonah had to realize that. And yet people assume that, well, God didn't actually see. Like children think, oh, I'll probably get away with this. My mum and dad or my teacher might catch me, but they might not. I might succeed. And people think that that's how it is with God, but it isn't. God sees and knows all things. God will turn the tables on you as if the potter were thought to be unreal. Can what is made say to the potter, you did not make me? And can what is formed by the potter say to the potter, you are not a very good potter? No. In a very little while, Lebanon will become like a garden of fruit, and the garden of fruit will become like a forest. In other words, everything is going to be turned upside down. And on that day, the deaf will hear the words of the book, and out of the darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The humble will rejoice in the Lord, and the poor of the people will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And the proud and the mockers will be no more, and those who love evil will be cut down. Those who make a man an offender because of a word, and those who put a trap for someone, and those who push aside the innocent with their bad arguments. Therefore, this is what Yahweh, who saved Abraham, says about the house of Jacob. No longer will Jacob be ashamed and his face grow pale, for when he sees in his midst his own children, the work of my hands, they will glorify my name. They will make holy the Holy One of Jacob and stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will understand, and those who keep complaining will then accept instruction. So, on that day, he said, people will understand. But that's because they want to understand. And he says those people will be the humble and the poor. The humble will experience joy in the Lord. Well, nobody wants to be poor or to be small. Everybody wants to be big and wealthy. And yet the continual message of the Bible is that it is the humble with whom God deals. It's the humble who will be lifted up. And so it's the proud who will be brought down. That's why to be humble is so important. That's why elsewhere the Bible says, do not set your eyes on great things. Do not want to have a fantastic, cool life. This is not at all what God is offering at all. He wants us to be humble, and Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And it's the proud will be brought down, those we read who make a man an offender for a word. Those who say, ah, but you said this, and they keep on and on about that. That's a sort of attitude that God deeply dislikes.